Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Public Affairs Program, Like It Is. My guest is Janice L. Marlow. She is joining me from Arizona via telephone. How you doing, Janice?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Before we get started, a bit about yourself, and then we're going to talk about your organization, Share Your Blessings Incorporated. Tell us a bit about your background.
Well, I was raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I began my professional career there as an accountant, a certified public accountant. And then expanded my career. I was involved in financial analysis. I had served on a number of startup businesses and also on the board of several nonprofit organizations over the years. I'm semi-retired now and devote my time to Share Your Blessings.
Thank you for that information, Janice. And Janice is chairman and CEO of Share Your Blessings. And for our audience members who may not be familiar with Share Your Blessings Incorporated, or SYB. It is a 501c3 organization that is dedicated to enhancing and inspiring the lives of disadvantaged individuals and their families. So, Janice, how did you get involved with Share Your Blessings?
Well, we actually founded it. We're the initial donors and contributors to that. And we formed it in 2006. And at that time, we had a very broad mission, which is what you've indicated, that we were dedicated to trying to help disadvantaged individuals. And there's just so many ways of doing that, that where we've found ourselves focused in recent years is trying to accomplish that through using music. And we have a real passion for seeing how music is able to be therapeutic and help all sorts of.
Let's be a bit specific about the music. What type of music that is found to be therapeutic? Can you elaborate?
Well, I think many kinds are, but the one we supply and which I think is important is that it is interactive music. It's electronic. It's interactive to where an individual initiates a response. They're not simply listening to it. And the really unique part of it is that the way that it works, it's not a game where there's one specific answer. It's actually programmed to where no matter how you play it, it's going to sound good. So you don't have to have a lot of talent. You don't have to have experience. It's just meant for you to be able to interact with it and have good sounding music.
I want to read to our audience your mission, or just a snippet from your mission statement, and then I want to ask you a question. Your mission is, or your goal is, to offer programs and support that. Our goal is to offer programs and support that promote value, acceptance, and inclusion, so that each individual and each child can address life challenges, achieve personal goals, and fulfill their potential to lead productive lives. Can you give an example of some of the life challenges that you indicate in your mission statement?
Certainly, and I know that mentions children, but it also applies to adults. But I think one of the challenges that individuals with special needs have is being included in activities. And an example would be an application we received under our program from a family that has 4.5-year-old twins. And the girl has autism, the son does not. And the parents are very excited because they believe that both of their children will benefit from this in-home use of the unit. They think that the daughter will benefit from the music therapy and from wanting to interact with it, but it's a way that they can include their son, who currently spends much of his free time watching her receive therapy. Well, it'll allow him to spend time with his sister and interact with her. And in general, when there is a family with a special needs individual, it allows them to interact and enjoy making music together.
That's a great example. Can you cite other examples, individuals who achieve some of these personal goals, overcoming some of the special needs or challenges that afflict families with special needs individuals?
Yes, and if I may, I know there's probably a clear definition of what is special needs, and I think for our purposes, we expand that to include special situations, and one of them would be a very moving and simple one of a young girl, 19-year-old girl who's been fighting leukemia for more than 3 years. She's had two bone marrow transplants, and her doctor recommended to her mother that she apply with us to receive one of our units because he felt that this particular instrument would help bring a quality of life to this girl and bring a smile to her face. And I was really thrilled that there was a doctor who was treating the whole patient that way. He's in the pediatric diagnostic center in California, but he was dealing with more than the disease here. He was trying to help her spirits as well. Additionally, we've had recently an application from a gentleman who's a quadriplegic, and he's been that way for more than 20 years. And as that, of course, he has quite a bit of assistive technology that helps him, but his wife is experiencing some mobility issues herself. So she sees this as a way, whereas a couple that's not very mobile, they don't get out much, they're going to be able to play music together, and it's going to be a way they can interact with each other as well. Other examples would be several of our applicants have cerebral palsy, restricted motion, or another recent one would be a boy in Ohio who has global weakness in his muscles, and he's unable to move as freely. But his mother really believes that this instrument will motivate him to move, to try and make a sound, to try and improve his strength. And I believe she was referred by the Ohio Center for Independent Living. So our word's starting to get out about a really broad range of ways that it might help people.
Is this an instrument that, in the last example, is this an instrument that this young person was given, or was it an instrument played to him by someone? Explain that.
Well, what the BEAMS is the name of the instrument. It's an interactive music system, and it comes with a device that has a downloadable software, and it's compatible with iPhones, iPads, but also with PC computers or Macs. And you download the software, and the unit has four laser beams, and each laser beam triggers a different sound. You can switch those sounds, so you can learn to play 12 different sounds. And all of these are coordinated through streaming in the software. And so the uniqueness of this device is that because it is all coordinated, you can not make it sound bad because they're all on the same melodic theme. And if you just touch your finger in the laser beam, it makes a sound. But if you hold your hand there, it makes a series of longer sounds. You can play a couple of the beams at one time. And so every time you play it, it's unique, it's different. And I think that's part of the motivation is that it is, every time it will be different. It depends on how you break the beam, which one you break, how long you hold it. And I can tell you when we exhibited at the Down Syndrome Conference here in Phoenix, it took no time at all for brand new users to come in and learn how to shift from one set of instruments to another and how to combine with the different background music and vocals to create their own sounds.
I note in your press information you cite statistics that support why Share Your Blessings, the organization, is really spot on. Would you talk a bit about the statistics that support why your program is making a difference in the lives of individuals afflicted with traumatic experiences?
Are you talking about the statistics of the units we've given, or are you talking about more of?
Let me cite one or two here. In your press material, you indicate 1 in 20 school-aged children are reporting as having a disability, referring to the census report from 2010. 1 in 6 children experience sensory challenges sufficient to disrupt their academic, social, and or emotional development. That's Ben Sasson, Carter, Briggs, Gowing, 2009. These statistics, I should say, help to support the need for your particular program, or are they there for some other reason?
No, I think a lot of people are not aware, and myself, frankly, I'm sure there's much more to learn about just how many children and adults have disabilities or limitations that might keep them from being able to perform in academic or social situations. And so the school-age children you talked about, I think, are good examples. Also, there's statistics on our site that there's over 30 million individuals in the U.S. with disabilities such as Down syndrome, autism, muscular dystrophy, and cerebral palsy, et cetera. And one that was interesting to me was that approximately 5 million people in the U.S. are being treated for traumatic brain injury. And of that, 500,000 of them are veterans. So there's definitely a need out there for people to find a learning device or a therapeutic device or even something that just allows them to have fun and interact with others to improve the quality of their lives.
How does Share Your Blessings Incorporated evaluate the success of your organization? How do you evaluate your organization's success? What would be the measuring stick that you would use?
Wow. I would say that we have testimonials. We have testimonials from the individuals that have used them. We have testimonials from therapists that have used them. And these are available on our website, www.shareyourblessings.org. And that's share-your-blessings. And many of those testimonials are on there. So I think it's through follow-up in situations where people have found success for it. One teacher that has a testimonial indicates that she has had success using the beams with autistic children. And from the limited knowledge I have, I know there's a broad range of autism, and I know that some individuals are actually bothered by sound, so you wouldn't think that a musical device such as this would necessarily be therapeutic. But in her testimonial of over 2 or 3 years of using it, she said she was personally surprised by how many would engage in that activity and would find satisfaction making music like that. So I think generally we're not sophisticated statistically on how we've done that, but it's been through interviews and having feedback from the individuals that are using it or the organizations that are using it. For instance, Phoenix Children's Hospital, we've had a unit there for units there for a number of years. And you know, we listen to how it's helped people and what their feeling is about it.
And one other point on this line of reasoning, how does your organization target individuals in need of your services? Let's just say, how is the word getting out there, or is the word out there about your organization such that individuals outside of Phoenix, Ohio, can in fact learn about and use your services provided by your organization?
Well, I think that's a really good point. I think we're young. I think we've tried to get the word out on our own, but we are. In our capacity, we don't have a large staff. All of our staff are volunteer, and so we don't have any type of easy way to reach lots of people. I think what you're doing is tremendous that way. We'll be able to do that. When we worked at the National Down Syndrome Conference, we were able to get so many people interested from all over the country, and they've gone back to their individual support groups or organizations in Florida or California. And so it's been, it really is almost word of mouth, because we don't have an organization for advertising, and we don't have a budget for advertising where we can go share this and let people know it's available. So I'd say the way we hope to do it is word of mouth. And in this fundraiser that we're doing on Indiegogo, I think a lot of charitable organizations, nonprofits, are there to raise money, but also to raise awareness. And I would hope that listeners would go to our site and see what we do. Of course, we'd love a donation, but we would love to have them tell individuals they know that have a need, that have a family member with a special need or have one themselves, or in a special circumstance, that they would go to our site, and the application is available online. They complete it online, and that way we'll receive more and more applications and be able to reach out, increase our reach.
I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Public Affairs Program, Like It Is. My guest today is Janice Mallow. She's chairperson and CEO of Share Your Blessings. And Share Your Blessings Incorporated is a 501c3 organization that is dedicated to enhancing and inspiring the lives of disadvantaged individuals and their families. Janice, I think it's a very worthwhile organization, yours, Share Your Blessings. And I love the title of your organization. Tell us a bit about Share Your Blessings. I love the title. How did you come up with the title? I'm just interested, or did you come up with it? It's a great title. Tell me a bit more about it.
Well, there's not a lot to it. I think that we came to a point in our lives where we looked at all that we were provided. We had financial security. We'd worked hard all our lives and not had any severe disruptions. We have healthy family members, and we were just, I think, counting our own blessings when we decided to form this organization. And we formed it so that we could take some of what we had and share it with others. And there's so many ways you can do it. It can be financial. It can be your time. That's one of the biggest things people can share. So in this case, when we formed this nonprofit organization, we were funding it with our money, and we said, we're going to share our blessings. So we said, Share Your Blessings is going to be the name of the organization.
Well, let me ask you this question. What's been the most blessed part of being a part of your organization? What's been, in your view, the most blessed part of sharing your blessings?
Well, there's a few of them. I think the watching the impact it has on a young person or an individual who couldn't make music before. And music can just move you as an individual. And to watch them, especially at the Down Syndrome Conference or in an elder care home, at people who maybe had the strength to play an instrument once but now they can't, to see them be able to do that, it's like it's not work. It fills me up. It just makes me, and it enriches me by feeling how blessed I am and glad that I've been able to help provide that for someone.
As you look strategically, do you envision Share Your Blessings Incorporated extending its reach nationally and potentially internationally? Is there a role for Share Your Blessings on a more global or national scale, in your view?
Well, I would hope so. I think we have started this Project Maestro funding that we hope will provide additional funds. We've slated on an additional 1,000 units that we hope to donate over the next 6 or more months. And not all of those will be to individuals. Some we would hope to give to organizations that serve these individuals, that sort of leverages that benefit in that case. But it will, I hope, primarily be to individuals that could benefit from it. With the funding that we're hoping to raise on this crowdfunding project, it would definitely increase our reach. And we're trying to raise, in that case, $100,000. And with that, we can donate 600 units or more. And that would extend us well through the year 2016. We do have the capability for some international because we have supporters in Western Europe, and we have some people using the BEAMS units in schools in Russia. But I think as far as share your blessings, at this point we're small. One of the things I've tried to do is set us apart or make us somewhat unique in that as a founder, I want the money that I put in to go and pay for all of the overhead and all of the administrative costs. And the reason I wanted to do that was I thought when I ask someone for a donation, it would be important to me, I hope it's important to them, that their donation will go 100% through the program and to the product getting to an individual. So when my finance background, and I'll look at someone's financial statements to see, well, how much are they spending on a building or rent? How much are they spending for salaries? So what I wanted to do was to create a nonprofit that, no, I will pay that as founder. I will pay for those costs. And then, of course, as I said, our personnel are all volunteers, so there's not salaries. But the other overhead costs I will pay for so that all the donations will go into programs. And so that will limit, you know, depending on our success, obviously, it will limit how far and how fast we can grow. But at this point, I don't see a problem with that well for the next couple of years.
Well, so in other words, you are vested. You're putting your money where your passion is with regard to your organization.
I definitely am, and I'm being sensitive to issues that I've heard people say and my own questions about, well, how much of what I give is actually going to go to the program? I do that with phone solicitors all the time because I want to, if I want to give to a heart association or something, I want to know that it's, the majority of the funds going to that service. It's not going to someone raising the funds or other applications. But that's me personally. But I thought, because I have that concern, I think it would help if others knew that. No, I'm very sensitive to that, and I plan on paying all the overhead and administrative costs out of the money I donate, so their money goes to the program.
Well, let me ask you about community collaborators or collaborations there in the Phoenix area. Have you considered or have you reached out to symphony organizations that have musical youth type programs that they really work with aspiring youth in the community? Have you considered that? Are you thinking about doing that or have you done that in terms of outreach, collaboratively speaking?
Well, I think that's part of getting the word out. And while we've done some of that, we have a lot more to do. And again, when we go to a conference, and this one we went to was focused on Down syndrome, but there were organizations there that serve all types of populations and individuals, and they network, and they, you know, try and help bring products to their clients and to people they know. So, we have not had a specific list of all the organizations we've gone to, but we have reached out to some and asked for them to partner with us.
I'm Bob Franklin. The program is Like It Is. My guest is Janet Marlow. She is chairperson and CEO of Share Your Blessings Incorporated, an organization that is dedicated to enhancing and inspiring the lives of disadvantaged individuals and their families. One last point before we wrap things up on this program, Janice, and that is I'd like to maybe just have you, before we close out, give your email address again, but also maybe talk about your proudest moment as a CEO of your organization.
Okay. Our website, again, is shareyourblessings.org, and that's share-your-blessings.org. And I think my proudest moment, again, was a series of moments working at the Down Syndrome Conference where I witnessed the delight and the interaction of people with special needs as they were able to make music.
Well, Janice, you said prior to starting that this was your first interview and you didn't know how you were going to do. Let me give you an A+. You did great. Thank you for being a guest today on Like It Is.
Okay, I hope I didn't ramble too much.
No, you were fine. My guest today has been Janice Marlow. She is chairperson and CEO of Share Your Blessings Incorporated. It's an organization that is dedicated to enhancing and inspiring the lives of disadvantaged individuals and their families. You can find them on the web at www.share-your-blessings.org. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.